Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with Rick Sterling, Larry, and Dr. Don, who's on the phone. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule today, October 16, 2021, in joining us for our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Today, we will be continuing our discussion from yesterday, and the interesting thing that I found is that Rick compared the kingdom of heaven to the church, and the two are not the same. So we're going to continue with that. Before we do, I want to call your attention to our website. Primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find all sorts of really, really good reading, and particularly our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, and also writing by Rick Sterling. We have a secondary website, our original website, that is now located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you will find lots and lots of other good reading and writing by Rick and some of the rest of us. And we encourage you to use that as a resource. We also have a Facebook group page. It is titled or called Spirit of Truth Ministry group page. And so I was going to say Spirit of the Church, but that's the book. Spirit of Truth Ministry group page. And if you decide to go there and click on the invite, click on the request, I will send you an invite and we will get you all hooked up so you can join us. It's very interesting. One of our members today on website, Suzette Elmendorf, has been posting some work by Scott Prentice from a book that he wrote called The Problem with Problems with Paul. And I highly recommend that you go read these little short little snippets that she's collected from that book. It's really, really wonderful. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a peaceful day today as we go about learning the truth. Sometimes learning the truth is very difficult because we have to set aside things that we already know and believe in order to learn the truth about what we now believe in comparing it. And I pray, Father, that you will, in your mercy, see to it that we find the truth today through your Holy Spirit and the words of Jesus. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's see here. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you today?
Good morning. Just very quickly, you mentioned the statement by George Carlin, right?
Yes.
Could you forward that to me on a text or something?
I could do that, you bet.
Because that's awesome. And that's absolutely profound.
And good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning to you.
I guess we're going to be seeing you after study at George's.
Looking forward to it.
Me too. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And Rick, you are all potted up.
You don't have to say potted up. That just does not sound right.
Yeah, I know. You're up and running.
do you look at what is happening in the world today? And wonder where is sanity?
Who's in charge?
My take on what's going on in the context of what I have spent, at least a third of my life in doing. I study Daniel and Revelation very in depth. And I noticed a time when what was being described in Revelation was coming clear to me like it had not done up to that point. I knew how the end time would all play out. I had no question in my mind. It was very clear to me. I explained it to other people who said, you know, for the first time, you've made sense out of this for me. People who had read through Daniel and Revelation and Matthew 24 and 25, we're saying that for the first time, put together a chart with dates on it, something that I was a little hesitant to do, but it had come so clear that by a sensible placing together of the lengths of time given in Daniel and Revelation, it would actually give me a reference in time. And then when that time passed, I was wondering what really was going on, because all the signs and indications were that we were there in that time, the time of the end. And there wouldn't be another time and another time and another time like there had been throughout history. And then, like, a door opening. Clarity came. And with clarity came a whole different way of understanding what I had been studying for years. I came to the realization that people of the world had not submitted to Satan's rule. Although they were living in darkness, they were like every generation. Every generation that was born and lived and died and the next and the next and the next. They were living in a world without truth. There was a dearth of truth. Yet, They were not submitting to wickedness. Because obviously there were many, many people who had submitted to wickedness, but the whole world had not submitted to wickedness like the time in the days of Noah, where the intention of the heart of every man was to wickedness. And wickedness alone. So when I read Revelation, and then I read Revelation 13 again, I realized I had an answer for a question that I have been asking of late. And Dennis, if you have George Carlin's,
I do.
If you could read that for our listeners.
Let me get there here.
Well, I will read this. This is a Revelation 13, starting with verse 3. I saw that one of the heads seemed to have had a fatal wound, but that this deadly injury had healed. And after that, the whole world had marveled and followed the beast. They prostrated themselves in front of the dragon because he had given the beast his authority. What that is describing is they had submitted to the devil. They had submitted to the devil. And they were doing what the devil wanted them to do. That is the wickedness of the time of the days of Noah. Okay, Dennis, if you'll read that.
Quote from George Carlin. Governments don't want an intelligent population because people who can think critically can't be ruled. They want a public just smart enough to pay taxes and dumb enough to keep voting and electing corrupt politicians. And there is one more that I spotted as well. This is from Notorious Celt, or Celt, actually, Notorious Celt. I'm not saying they're intentionally trying to shut down small businesses, destroy the middle class, transfer the majority of the wealth to the world's largest corporations, and divide us with fear and hatred. But if they were, what would differently?
And with that last, what would they be doing differently in mind? I don't know how many of you are not aware of what is going on in the whole world right now. But there is a concerted, almost desperate push to get everyone inoculated with the current inoculation that is being used for a nefarious purpose. And I say nefarious because at no time in history has something like this been pushed so purposefully and so against the majority's wishes. What is it about this inoculation that Congress in the United States has exempted themselves from and has treated their members who had the scamdemic, quote-unquote, bug, with therapeutic medication.
In that regard, here is another one. If you have to carry a card in your pocket or pass on your phone, proving you injected a drug into your body to gain access to grocery stores, receive medical care, or to freely move about society, then you no longer live in a free country and you are no longer sovereign over your own body. And that should concern everyone, regardless of political party or medical choices. That's where we are right now today.
Now, what I have just read in Revelation 13, 3 and 4, is a world population that has already submitted to the kingdom of the dragon, the kingdom of the world. They will do whatever the leadership of the world, who are acting on behest of the dragon, says. They're not resisting. They're submitting. I read that right here. They are submitting. What the kingdom of the dragon, and the leader is Satan, the devil, that ancient serpent. The people are resisting submitting to the devil. Revelation 13 does not say that. Revelation 13 says they have submitted, and they said, who is like the beast? Who can resist it? Who can fight against it? So they have willingly submitted to the kingdom rule of the dragon. And I had wondered, why is God waiting? Well, unlike God, I can't see the future other than what God has been pleased to generously give me information about. And God, for two things. Two important things from us. One is trust. Trust me, he says. Trust me. I tell you what I do for my people, and trust me because I don't lie. And my people are faithful. Faithful in their will to obey my will. My will is to do righteousness. We all know about Moses. I'm sure that any of our listeners, if I were to ask them, tell me quite a bit about Moses. What is Moses mainly known for? Now, you know, when God contacted Moses, he was 80 years old. When God contacted Moses for the first time, Moses didn't know who God was. That's why God had to tell him that they were the gods of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses is known best for the leading the people, the slaves, the families of the 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel, out of Egypt. He was the one chosen by God to lead the progeny of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob into the land that God had promised to give their offspring as an inheritance. So Moses was the one chosen to lead the children of Israel from Egypt in paganism and service to the false gods into the promised land, which would be the kingdom of the one true God. The Son of God came to earth with a very important task, much more than just to die for the sins of his people, much more than that. He came to do what Moses had done. But more than what Moses had done. You see, Moses led a very resistant, recalcitrant people that were clinging to the gods of Egypt.
God called them stiff-necked.
What they were hearing about the God of their fathers was not really appealing to them. They didn't want to change. And while a significant number did worship and serve the true God in the heavens, the majority did not. So the Son of God came to earth and delivered a testimony which would lead his kingdom out of darkness. The darkness in spiritual Egypt, and would show them the way to the promised kingdom of God, a kingdom that was not a place, but a people. And I find it interesting. In Revelation, there's a hint, if you will, of this as the Son of God being the Moses for the final generation to lead people out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Revelation chapter 15. Now, John sets up this as these people have come out of the great tribulation and the seven last plagues are being set into place to start to be poured out on the world, upon which probation has closed. The people, though, described here will, this will be a true picture of what is in the heavens, but these people will also fight against the beast, but not his mark, or maybe his mark without knowing it. Revelation chapter 15, starting with verse 1. What I saw next in the heavens was a great and wonderful sign. Seven angels were bringing the seven plagues that are the last of all, because they exhaust the anger of God. I seemed to see a glass lake suffused with fire, and standing by the lake of glass, those who had fought against the beast and won. Very important statement. Fought against the beast and won, and against his statue and the number which is his name. They all had harps from God, and they were singing the hymn of Moses, the servant of God, and of the Lamb. Now in Deuteronomy, we read the Song of Moses, which is a fairly substantial piece of music. Here, not so long and detailed and with ups and downs and roundabouts. This is how it goes. How great and wonderful are all your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all your ways, King of nations. Who would not revere and praise your name, O Lord? You alone are holy, and all the pagans, or all those who worship a false god, will come and adore you for the many acts of justice you have shown. I think that what is happening right now is a last-ditch, desperate attempt by the devil to gain control of the minds of the people of Earth. They have not willingly submitted to him, so he is going to force them by injecting material that will give him control over their mind. Not because they willingly submit to him, but because he takes control of their mind through mechanical, technological means, forcing them to become zombies. You think I'm crazy? There are several people in the know who say that this is not only possible, but it already has been done. You see, the devil has never played fair. He will win at whatever cost takes to win.
And that cost is borne by you, not borne by him, not yet.
He doesn't care whether you willingly submit or whether he turns you into a robot which makes you submit, because he controls you. But I know the question that's in your mind. Rick, why would God let him do that? God letting him do that. Right now in the world, there is a huge rising up of people. And they are saying, no, we will not submit. We will not go quietly into that dark night. And for everyone who does that, God and his angels are with you and with us. God has very clearly described what will be going on at the end. He described what would be going on if the people submitted to the dragon. It would be hell on earth. What we are experiencing now is like a pleasant walk along the beach on a sunny, cool day. It seems like hell stand. God will reward our faithfulness and trust. I will admit there are times when I wonder myself. I have to bring myself back to my senses. God is trustworthy. If he is not trustworthy, he is not God. Now, I've read this other text before because it hadn't made sense to me until I realized that we were in a different reality.
Don wants to say something. Don. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, please,
Don, did you want to say something?
Yeah, please. Could you give us the text for that song of Moses? You didn't give us the exact text.
Yeah, it was Deuteronomy.
It's in Deuteronomy, I know that. It's in the early part of Deuteronomy, like, you know, around the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
Dennis,
10, whatever.
Yeah, Dennis,
yes.
Yeah, Dennis, get it for us before the show is over. Go back to your... I'm out. Go back.
I think it's Deuteronomy 15, Song of Moses. Yeah.
Thank you.
Revelation chapter 16, starting with verse 12. This is the sixth bowl of wrath. The sixth angel emptied his bowl over the great river Euphrates. All the water dried up so that a way was made for the kings of the east come in. Then from the jaws of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, I saw three foul spirits come. They looked like frogs, and in fact were demon spirits able to work miracles, going out to all the kings of the world to call them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. This is how it will be. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes. the kings from the east, drying up the waters of the River Euphrates. What do we see happening today? Ever since, should I say, Brandon got into the White House, the pretender, poser president who cheated, well, he didn't. He's not smart enough to do it. But his puppet masters cheated and then certified the cheating that put him in the presidency. And what has been done is the drying up of the River Euphrates. Well, now, that's not a physical drying up. What it is a diminishing and destroying the power that would prevent the kings from the east of taking over the world. The Battle of Armageddon that they are talking about here as being set up, what most people don't realize is the Battle of Armageddon is the greatest war that is never fought.
That's correct. It is never fought.
Because you see, right after the sixth bowl of wrath comes the seventh. And the seventh bowl, there's a shout from the sanctuary. The end has come.
It is done.
The end of all this has come. So there's no battle. There's no great battle. There's just a preparation for that. So the sixth bowl of wrath is, to me, very clearly the destroying of the power of the West to prepare the way for the kings from the East, which would be China. And I have wondered why in the sixth bowl of wrath does God tell John to write, this is how it will be. This is how it will be. Not that the kings from the east will come together. But you see, this is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Let's start reading from verse 37. So will it be when the Son of Man comes. For in those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, taking wives, taking husbands, right up to the day Noah went into the ark, and they suspected nothing till the flood came and swept them all away. It will be like this when the Son of Man comes. Now, do you see anything in there about wickedness and the wickedness of the hearts of man? We know that because it says in Genesis chapter 6, talks about the hard-hearted, impenetrable hearts of the people, which is why God sent the flood. But what he says here, it doesn't really say it was the reason for sending the flood, but the condition of the expectation of the people. They were just living their lives. and they suspected nothing till the flood came and swept all away. It will be like this when the Son of Man comes. Now, verse 42. Oh, stay awake. Who's he talking to here? Anybody who's listening? Anybody who's listening? He's not talking to one certain, talking to everyone. So stay awake because you do not know the day your master's coming.
Okay, now, so this is for everybody. They do not know the day their master is coming. So the people that don't know their master is coming have a master. They are not necessarily abjectly wicked. They probably are worshipers of God, but they don't know who they're worshiping yet. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It is
they
not.
They have not submitted to the devil.
They have not submitted to the devil, and
that's
see
the
that
bottom line.
That makes a huge difference. You understand that this is not an exclusive issue. This
now,
is a generalized issue.
The reason that he says stay awake is because you don't know the time that the thief is coming.
In fact, there's a lot of people who don't even realize that they need to be aware there's a time the master is coming.
You may be quite sure of this, that if this householder, head of the house, master of the house, teacher,
see, this is not the king's. This is the servant.
At what time of the night the burglar would come, he would have stayed awake and would not have allowed anyone to break through the wall of his house. Therefore, you too must stand ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What sort of servant then is faithful and wise enough for the master to place him over his household? Now his household is his kingdom. His household is his kingdom. To give them their food, truth, message, the word of God, at the proper time. Happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at this employment. I tell you solemnly, he will place him over everything he owns. But as for the dishonest servant who says to himself, my master is taking his time, sets about beating his fellow servants and eating and drinking with the drunkards. His master will come on a day he does not expect and in an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off and send him to the same fate as the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth.
This has to do with truth. All of this has to do with truth. And Schultz, the cartoonist who did Snoopy, had this to say about it many years ago. If it can be destroyed by the truth, it deserves to be destroyed by the truth. See, people are concerned about their relationship with truth, but they don't understand the dynamic. This faithful and wise servant is teaching them that dynamic so that, yes, the truth that they now believe to be true will be destroyed.
It was never true.
It was never true. it deserves to be destroyed because it was never true.
Truth is the destination, right. Not the journey.
Yes. And see, it doesn't mean that these people are evil. They just don't know.
Now, to draw your attention again to this statement here, it's very important. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man.
Correct.
Not happy are the men. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes. You see, if that servant, the head of the household, decides his master is taking his time and it's going to be a while, so he starts, fellow servants, and eating and drinking with the drunkards, what has he done with his robe that he had on and then decided, because he starts out feeding his fellow servants. That's how he starts out. He's awake, he's feeding his fellow servants, but then he decides, this is not working out. God should have come before this. I expected him before this, and, well, he's taking his time. In order to stop doing what he was doing, he would have to take off his robe.
And hang it up and put on other clothes and wait for the master to indicate when he's coming so he can put that robe back on again.
Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes.
Exactly.
So that he does not go out naked and expose his shame.
This passage indicates that the singular faithful and wise bondservant, has a definitive choice to make. It is not saying that he will choose that path where he takes off the clothes, his clothes. It is saying that that is the choice that he makes. And from our timeline, from the timeline that you have had proposed many years ago, it is indicated that today that choice has been made, and it has been the correct choice.
According to Matthew chapter 17, verse 11 and 12, he replied, Elijah is to come to see that everything is once more as it should be. However, I tell you that Elijah has come already, and they did not recognize him, but treated him as they pleased. That, to me, sounds like an affirming statement that the prophet Elijah type person, who I believe is that same head of the household, the faithful and wise enough servant, is this person that the Son of God told his disciples in response to their question about the coming of Elijah. He said, he will see to it that everything is once more as it should be. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, he put another parable before them. The kingdom of the heavens is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, But when it has grown, it is the biggest shrub of all and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and shelter in its branches. The birds of the air represent the nations that the people standing around the lake like glass suffused with fire. You alone are holy, and all the nations will come and adore you for the many acts of justice you have shown. And then in Daniel chapter 2. And this is how we know what time we are living in regard to the return of the king. Daniel 2, starting with verse 43. And just as you saw the iron and the clay of the earthenware mixed together, so the two will be mixed together in the seed of man. But they will not hold together any more than iron will blend with earthenware. In the time of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And this kingdom shall not pass into the hands of another race. It will shatter and absorb all the previous kingdoms, and itself last forever. Do you see how the Elijah-type prophet will come and see that everything is as it should be, as it was in the beginning when God created everything? That's what is being described by Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. That is what the Son of God is saying to his disciples about the prophet Elijah type person. That is the one said who is faithful and wise enough and is feeding his fellow servants. His master will return when the strength of all the nations is dried up, preparing the way for the kings from the east, the China, to take control of the whole world. Daniel chapter 7. Let's start with verse 20. And the truth about the 10 horns on its head and why the other horn sprouted and the 3 original horns fell and why this horn had eyes and a mouth that was full of boasts and why it made a greater show than the other horns. This was the horn I watched making war on the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of the one of great age who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. When? Do you see that word? I had watched making war on the saints and proving the stronger until the coming of the one of great age who gave judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High when the time came for the saints to take over the kingdom.
The when is an assurance that it will happen, and
it
indeed
has
already happened. Exactly.
Happened. And that kingdom, and we read about that judgment right here, verse 25 and 26 of Daniel 7. Which is in a more detailed explanation. He's going to speak words against the Most High and harass the saints of the Most High. He will consider changing seasons and the law, and the saints will be put into his power for a time, times, and half a time. I believe that time period is on what I would say the death road or the alternate reality. But a court will be held and his power will be stripped from him, consumed and utterly destroyed. And the sovereignty and kingship and the splendor of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His sovereignty is an eternal sovereignty, and every empire, all the nations will serve and obey him. That's Daniel 2, the stone. That's the song of Moses and the Lamb in Revelation 15. That's the parable of the mustard seed. You see, all these connections now work perfectly well when we realize that we did not go through that reality with the beast and his mark and the dragon and the death and destruction of the trumpets and the bowls. But the dragon's kingdom is still here. But the dragon's kingdom has been destroyed, has been conquered, because God has a kingdom represented as starting out as a stone cut out without hands and a mustard seed and Elijah, who will see that everything is as it should be, and these are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. Just a final comment. Don't you think that it would be helpful to know how to gain access and entry into that kingdom? We encourage you to join us a week from Friday, yesterday, for our next edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 o'clock for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Please go to spiritoftruthministry.net. Take a look around and also join us on our Spirit of Truth Ministry group page on Facebook. I think that you will enjoy reading some of the things that are also posted there. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis for those of us here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. I'm encouraging you to do this, and we'll see you all next week. Have a great Sabbath day today, and we'll see you all next time.